Praise you and thank you so much for this day. And Lord, it's great to celebrate and to come together, Lord. But at the end of the day, we come together for you. And so we give you praise and glory and thank you for who you are and for loving us and always being there for us, Lord. I pray that this message will be pleasing to you, that you will anoint me to preach it for your glory and your honor through your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that hearts will be touched here today because of this message. And so we thank you, Lord, because that is the most important thing, Jesus, and that is proclaiming your word and who you are and your love. So prepare our hearts, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since I have 2 hours, I got to tell you something about this message. This message this week has been really, really hard for me in a variety of ways. But one thing I wanted to always leave you with I've got back into, I want to tell a little joke at the beginning. That's just to get your attention, you know. And then hopefully once you get your attention, then you can be listening, whatever. So I had this joke I had. I thought it was really great, by the way, Maria. I thought it was probably the best one that I had come across. And so all week long, I've been thinking about and this joke and laughing to myself. I thought it was very funny. And so I said to Jan a couple of days ago, I said, Jan, I thought I'd try it on Jan. So I did, and I told the joke, and I started laughing when it come to the punchline, and Jan was dead serious. She said, that is not funny. just like she, that is not funny. And she had this kind of like a concerned look on her face when I said, what do you mean it's not funny? I said, don't you get it? Then I tried to break down the joke so she could understand the punchline. She said, it still is not funny. So I thought what I'd do this morning, I said, okay, so I'll come up on another joke. So I'm going to put this one out, and if it bombs, it's on Jan. You know, it's not on me. Okay, are we ready for it? Yeah. Where's my clarity? I'm frazzled, you know. Yeah. Well, anyway, over a Sunday dinner, a family, they were gathered as they were having their supper or their lunch, and they were talking about the Sunday morning sermon at their church, and was on the second coming of Christ. And their teenage son said, I still have questions about Jesus' return. And the father thought that he'd help his son navigate through some of those questions, so he was trying to answer some of the questions, but then the father at one point just kind of concluded and said that we don't always have the answer that we would like, but we do know that God will always give us the right answers whether we like it or not. And at that point, his teenage son replied, are you ready for this? You think I forgot the punchline, don't you? I'm doing that for effect. He replied, he said, I tried that, but I was grounded. You grounded me for a month. I blew it. All right. Yeah. Chris is laughing because he knows I'm leaking up here. All right. Okay, let's try this again, okay? Okay, so we get to the point where the dad says, the best preparation, I left that out, didn't I? Yes, I did. You're listening. He said, the best preparation is to leave each day as if it were your last. With me? The teenager replied, I tried that once and you grounded me for a month. Thank you very much. See, I forgive me, Lord, I purposely blew that because when I'm trying to prepare you that knowing that better Sundays are ahead. So, all right. Okay, here we go. Expectancy. For a large portion of his 110 years, Joshua, the great leader, was second lieutenant to Moses. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man, and not only military-wise, but also spiritually. And Joshua, as we know, was a very, very strong spiritual man. So as expected, when Moses passed away, the leadership role went to Joshua. So my first thought is faithfulness. Many years had gone by, and most of the promised land had already been conquered by Joshua and the people of Israel. And Joshua's final words to the people can be summed up in two verses in Joshua 23, verses 3 and 8. He said, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." And verse 8, "But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now." Joshua understood human nature. He understood God's promises to his people. He understood that God's promises are always there, always for them. And if they hung on to him and his promises, then he would see them and give them the promised land. And that's exactly what he did. But Joshua also understood that promises are always subjective to human frailties. You know, Joshua knew his people's weak spots. That's why he centered his final address on the importance of both the positive benefits of faithfulness and also the negative consequences of unfaithfulness. And isn't that true? See, Joshua knew his people so well. So Joshua is at the very end of his life, and they've really been blessed with the promised land. All God's promises had come to fruition, and they were there, and they were just having a good time. But Joshua was warning them. He warned them. How did he warn them? We're going to get into that. He warned them, you better stick with God. You better stick with him and remember what he's done for you, because if you don't, bad things are going to happen. And that's really exactly what happened to Israel. When Joshua, when he died, then after a period of time, they started going back to pagan worship and other bad things. And it just went from there right at the top. They were right there, you know, at the penthouse of joy and a good life. And it seemed like within a very short period of time, they went right down to the outhouse. They were just devastated, all because they didn't listen to what Joshua is really telling them, to be faithful to your God. If you continue to be faithful, you will be blessed. Each and every day, you will be blessed. And how many times have we seen that? You know, I shared that Billy Graham once said that he was asked how many people at one of his crusades, when they come forward, you know, to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he was asked how many people really follow up. He said, maybe 50%. 50% say, well, I love the Lord. Maybe it's an emotional moment, a period in their lives. But then after a period of time, life gets in the way, and suddenly they drift and they fade away from God. That's the same thing that Joshua was concerned about with his people, that he didn't want people to fade away from God. Once you have him, then keep him. And you keep him by being obedient, being faithful to him. The whole book of Joshua is about obedience. If you could sum it up, that's probably one of the words you use, would be, it's about obedience. As for me and my household, and we're going to be talking about that at the end, he said, we will serve the Lord. My example, we followed Christ. I followed him my whole life. Look at me as your example. Not as the one you should worship, but just as the example of one who follows Jesus Christ. Okay? How are we doing so far? So it's not too bad, is it? Lee? All right. Number two, obedience. Joshua 23:6. And he keeps coming back and hammering them of understanding what it means to be faithful, obedient, you know, to God. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Joshua emphasized the importance of obeying God's word. Obey the law. And God, and that applies to us as well today, to obey the law, obey the word, be in the word. Jake, see if you're awake, buddy. You know, Jacob once asked his pastor, Pastor Steve Andres, and Steve is very accomplished at the guitar, and Jacob, if I blow this, you can tell me afterwards, say, Bob, you really left something out. But Jake once asked Pastor Steve, he said, how can I be great playing the guitar? And Steve said, well, basically, to Jake, you're past the stage of being great because you need to start when you're younger. Is that pretty much it? You know? And Jake doesn't agree with him at that point. He definitely agreed with it, but not at that point. And my point with that is that's not the case with the Bible. The Bible says you can start today and be in his word, and you can become great in him. You know? So there's no, it starts when you're 10 or whatever, or in Sunday school, it's whenever. But I'll be honest with you. You know? I will never totally understand the Bible, everything in it. And guess what? You won't either. So we're all in this together. However, that does not stop me from being in the word every single day. In my words, every single day, because there's always something in the word. There's always a nugget in there. There's always a truth to be learned and to be applied to our lives. So when I'm in the Bible and I'm reading it and I apply it to my life, well, then for me, life just, I function a lot better when I'm in the word of God. So what does that mean? That means I've seen it very often in Christians, in loving, they love the Lord, but they're not in the word. You have to be in the word. It's not enough to just listen to a pastor on a Sunday morning or a Saturday evening or whatever and just say, well, I'm getting the word from that person. No, God says, and Joshua says, you need to get in the word. You need to do that. Yes, read a passage. If you're stuck or what, or you're confused, then talk to a brother and sister in Christ. Get involved in a Bible study or whatever. But take the time. God wants you. He wants one-on-one time with each and every one of us. So get in the word. Dig into it. Struggle with it. That's okay. But hey, try this. This is a novel idea. I think it is, Scott, at least. Rather than ask someone else, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Isn't that why he's there? One of the functions? Ask the Spirit of God to help you understand what you're reading. I do that every morning when I pick up my Bible to read it. I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give me a fresh insight into his word so I can apply it to my life. So that's very important, isn't it? Amen. This isn't so bad. I have 4 points. We're now on number 3. You know, God is so good, isn't he? You know, just dig your own wells. When it comes to the Bible, just dig your own wells. Get in there and struggle with it. If you have to, then God will help you really understand it, and he'll bless you. Verses, go back to, I read 8. We're going back to 8 again, verses 8 through 11. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. He's reviewing what God has done for them in their lives. So he's trying to, I believe Josh is really trying to hone in to people, understand what has happened to you. Understand what God has done for you. He's done all of this. So how can you blow it? Why would you want to? All right? All right. I'm not mad, Josh. I'm just, you know, that's for effect. All right. You know, I think I'm spraying on him just a little bit. Okay. So I'm gonna go back with this because to me these verses are so important. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. As Christians, we are citizens of two worlds. I always say, or often say, we are already but not yet. As believers in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, you know, you still live in this world. So you have one foot in this world, and you have one foot in eternity. So we're right there. But in this, I think, now listen to this. Joshua warned his people and us not to completely buy into what this world has to offer, all of its pleasures and all of its values. All right, let's get serious just for a moment. And that is, I don't know where all of you are here. I know where probably most of you are on this, but getting a little bit political, what breaks my heart is the issue of abortion. And I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, my rights, my rights, my rights, my body, my rights, my you know, I want to go, you know, I want to spit them out. That's murder. Abortion is murder. And there's no other way to look at it. It is murder. Now we move on to what else is going on in the world today. And young people, we have some young ones here as well. You know, we're into this transgender thing, which I don't quite totally understand all of it, but I know enough to know that people are getting these operations, you know, these young people. What, just last week, two young people died from having operations to this transgender thing. You know, and it's interesting, isn't it? How many girls want to be guys? We don't hear about that, right? How many guys want to be girls? That's where the issue is. Guys wanting to become girls. Now we've heard hearings from our politicians or whatever describe what is a woman. And they fumble around. They can't describe what a woman is. But they know. They must know. They can't be that stupid. You know? What is a woman? How would you define a woman? I got to watch where I go with this one. But here's my read. And that is, you can have a woman or a girl can go to the most famous surgeon in the world who's an expert at what he does or she does. And it doesn't matter how they try to change you, that person will never have a period. That's a woman. Women have periods. It doesn't matter what they do to your body, you will never have a period if you're a guy. So what is God saying about all of this? God made man, he made woman. That's it. I could say God made man, God made woman, period. Just for effect. There you go. See, you're going to miss this. So we always need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us discern what God has for us. To discern God's value system from the culture's value system. Amen and amen. Number four. See, we're a very oiled machine up here. You know, the worship team, the pastor, we just know, you know, when to move, when not to move. Number four, Becca. And Chris, and Sue, and Jake. Anyway. Oh, dear. Okay, let's shift to chapter 24. And really, seriously, you know, for Joshua, and this wasn't all laughter and fun and games for him. He was dying, about to die, and he wants to make sure that all of his people, they understand what is going on spiritually. Okay? So let's look at chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua challenged the people to serve only God, to look at what God had done for them. He empowered them in conquering the promised land. Okay? That's what he had done for them. And in Joshua's final challenge, he let them know his choice. He said, and his family, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That was his final words to them. We will serve the Lord. We will do this as for me and my household. Friends, every day we must make that choice to serve Jesus Christ, to serve him in every area of our lives, to serve him when we don't feel like serving him, to serve him when things are going wrong in our life, to serve him, to serve him, to serve him in the good, the bad, and the ugly, to serve the Lord. Amen? This comes to my family, that for us, for Jan and myself, our journey started 50 years ago. And through the course of that period of time, God used the suffering of Jan, our daughter, Chris, your sister, to bring us to Christ. That has been our story. And all of us have a story to tell. But I chose this passage from Joshua because in so many ways, though we're 110 years old, Rudy, we're not 110, but how Joshua was faithful to his God. One example. And I look back years ago, and how God, Christ, came into our lives, and how our faithfulness to him just continued to build and build through all the transition years. And I look out and I see my family. And what a blessing it is, because they are a part of this journey. Sometimes we forget that we lost a child But Diane and Connie lost a sister. And David was born just, less than 24 hours later. He never had an opportunity to see his sister. Our story is their story as well. There's a beginning and there's an end. And for me, this is the end of being a pastor in a church. I'm retiring. But I can't retire without reflecting back on my roots and what this little girl had done not only in our lives, but in the lives of so many other people. You can talk to my family, and they have a voice. They can share with you. They can talk with you. But there's one of us that is missing. She died. She doesn't have a voice. Verbally, she can express herself. She's not here. So please listen to what I'm saying. And allow me to be my daughter's voice. I'm going to read something from the book I wrote, Time After Time, Amazon for $12, by the way. Oh, dear. God still loves me even when I do these crazy things. I think I need to do that. But anyway, I'm going to share something with you that I think is important. First of all, please, 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 every one of you here, understand I'm not building up a person. I'm building up what God has done through a little girl, okay? So I'm going to read a poem that was written by a young woman that we never knew. She could walk into this in this place, I wouldn't even recognize that person. And the author of this poem, Chris never knew her either. However, our daughter's story and our story was passed on to her. And as a result, God inspired this young woman to write the following words. Now, before I share this poem with you, this poem was prefaced, that's the word I'm looking for, with a brief note by the wife of one of my daughter's teachers at her elementary school. So I'm going to first start with the note. I'm going to read it just the way it was written to and given to us. April 1, 1977. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Carr, we want to tell you that our prayers are with you as you enter a new chapter in your life. Jim has spoken several times of Chris's testimony in school and of yours as well. Last Sunday morning, after he sang a solo in the worship service in our church, he told of Chris going home and of the quiet acceptance of God's will in her life and yours. One of the young women was moved to write a poem, and on Sunday after church asked us to give it to you. It is enclosed. Then this note concludes, be assured that your testimony before, during Chris's memorial service, and in the years to come has had a positive effect for Christ on those of us who love him and on many who don't know him. In his love, Karen and Jim Verkuteren. Now I come to the poem. Please listen to the words. The title of the poem is Little Child Lost with a question mark. Was she strong? Oh yes, so strong. Was she tender? They say she was. Was she wise? Beyond her years. And though I knew her not, my soul reached out to hers. For with her parting, she left not sorrow, but hope, not distress, but peace. A thirst to know the source of her inner strength. Her body, though frail, resounds with beauty because of her joy of living. A child, yes, and at times frightened, but knowing God loved her, she simply departed with him, leaving behind only fond love and curiosity, a longing for God that only he could satisfy. A child lost? No, only reclaimed by a wise and loving Savior. The author, Sue Tillman. Now, that poem really summarized so much about her story. It was, you know, it had to be the Holy Spirit. It just had to be the Holy Spirit. But one thing I'd probably add to that is that, and her sisters would contest that she was feisty, to say the least. So none of us are perfect. She was feisty. But why I read this, because I want you to know this is our story. You know our story. But her witness has inspired her family and others, and so many that we'll never know, and continues to do so. It's hard for me to conclude or talk about retirement when I can't help but think back of those days and think back of this little girl that changed our lives and say it all started there. And though my family, they are growing, and they're growing and taking different paths, different ways, but they're growing in Jesus Christ. And I look back on that and I say, you know, Chrissy, you know, just look at your story. There's victory here. There's not defeat. There's victory. God turned a death. He turned a death, and he turned it into victory in Jesus Christ. We're not perfect, by no means. We never bailed out on God. We never said to God, why did you let this happen? Instead, her story, her life inspired us to be all that Christ wants us to be, warts and all. This is my final charge to Family Life Church. Continue to make the right choice, as so many of you have, and serve your Lord each and every day. Serve him. Grow in your love for him. Let us start for you now. Every day. Serve him. Every day. Seek him. Every day. Love him. Every day when you struggle, call on him. Call on him. Call in his promises. He will never let you down. Never, never, never will he let you down. He promises to be faithful, but we must also be faithful. We had a choice to make. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We had a choice to make, and we're still making that choice every day, and so are you. Make it. Make it your own. Jesus Christ is walking with you. Always remember that. Jesus Christ is walking with you. He'll never leave you. In closing, Jan and I, we thought about this, we talked about it, that probably looking across this room, we're probably, well, the oldest people here. And so we're closer to that already, but not yet. Now we're closer to the not yet. My prayer for you is one day as you reach the age of this old guy, if, you know, whatever, that you can look in the mirror and you can say, God, I've been faithful. I've tried to be faithful. I've blown it, but I've tried. I never forsake it. I never turned away from you. Can you say that? When you're young, can you say that? Make it who you are. Make Jesus who you are. And let him use you in a profound way. I believe this church is going to blossom. But it's got to do, it only happens through Christ. That's it. If you're going to try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. You're going to pancake. It's going to be a disaster. If you put Jesus first and don't pat yourselves on the back, it's all about Christ. It's not about how good you are or how good your pastor is going to be. It's all about Christ. Period. End of story. It's all about him. That's all, Jake. Just give me the guitar and we'll just wail for a while. Thank you kindly. Gracious Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you, Lord. This has been a blast, and I thank you for it, Father God. I've always wanted to finish strong, and you gave me a group of people as we just tried to find our way. You kept your faith, and you kept building us up. We kept turning to you each and every step. And you built us to this point. And I feel so privileged to be a part of it. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me to this place where I can honestly say with this congregation, I've lived the dream. I truly have. And I can honestly say that through you, Jesus, and your grace, with these people, I'm finishing strong. That I love. We love you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.